Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories,
sweet memories.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I
how
long once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious
years
of memories,
of memories.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I love
once more to be,
more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
years
of memories,
memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me
how I
long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that you have had a great evening and a great night. And may this day bring a lot of good things to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. And may you walk with him through this day. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we have opened your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward. Father, to use me, to speak through me, so that your words, Father, this morning will be yours and not mine. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. Let us ever learn, so that we can walk on that pathway of righteousness, serving you, Lord, being your servants, always looking to you for our needs. Now, Father, this I ask in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to be in the 13th chapter now of John. So beginning here with verse 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that this hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now you see, they all went to Jerusalem because of this feast of Passover. This is held because it is a happening that happened back when Israel was in bondage to Egypt and had been in bondage 430 years. But now, God is, as we studied back then, found that God said he heard their cry, and he sent Moses back to get them, to lead them out, and to take them where he wanted them to go. He had a land and all already planned out for them. But Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. God kept working miracles and doing things. Pharaoh kept denying until finally Pharaoh himself brought the last thing upon Egypt by declaring that if they didn't quit bothering him about being released and all, that he would kill all of their firstborn. But God said, no, that's not the way it'll work. I will take all the firstborn of Egypt. And he told his people, the Hebrew people, to take a lamb. They was to keep it inside. And then he gave them a time to kill that lamb and to put the blood up over the top of the door and down each side. And they was to eat that lamb. And he told them the angel of death would pass through. And he seen the blood on the door. He would pass over them. They would not be hurt. And as we were studying in the Old Testament, we know that that's exactly what happened. And he took all of the firstborn from every family of the Egyptians. But he didn't take any from his people. The angel of death passed over them all. That's why this feast of Passover, and it is still going on today. But the Lord is also letting us know here in this first verse that he loved those that God had gave him here in the world, those that were his followers. And that he was going to love them to the end. We know he does. Now, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. We know at that supper, that's when it happened. Now, 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, because he knows that's where he's going back to. He knows he's not going to be dead and buried and just non-existence. He knows all this. Now, but he also knows the pain and the punishment he's going to have to suffer. And that's why he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't the idea of the death, it was the idea of all the pain and suffering and all of the sins of this world that was going to be on him on that cross. Now, three, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. Now we'll go on here with verse 4. He raises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. 5, and after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, here the Lord Jesus Christ is washing the feet of his disciples. But you know Peter, he's always got something to proclaim that really a lot of it he don't get to keep. He has to change. So this is no different. 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him. You see, Peter said, no, I'm not going to, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. No. But here's 8. He says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Uh-oh. Now, Simon don't feel so big. 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. You see, he had been cleansed. He's talking about him even spiritually, because he's telling that he is clean. He says every whit or every bit of it. Now, then you are clean, but not all. Because you see, they walked in sandals. They wasn't walking up on paved streets and all of that. They were walking on dirt. When they would go get into a house, the rest of their body where they had washed and all was clean, but their feet were going to be dirty. Every home kept a basin of water by the door so their feet could be washed, because they carried that much dirt, naturally. Now, he changed his mind there, didn't he? 11. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. There's one of you that's not clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. In other words, what he is getting across to them is that they're not better than each other. In fact, when he tells them to wash another's feet, Jesus is merely setting an example, not establishing an ordinance, but there is little evidence that the early church practiced foot washing except as a social custom. The practice is not mentioned in Acts. The only other mention in the New Testament is 1 Timothy 5:10, where the widows may be provided for by the church only if they have practiced this custom, especially on the saints. We have churches today that at a certain time of the year, they have a service of foot washing, where everyone there washes somebody's feet. Not many of them do it, but we have a few that does. Now, he says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, pay attention. I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. You see, he's given us the order of things. And that order is, our Heavenly Father is the greater. And then his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then you and I. You know, we are given the Holy Spirit to lead us in the ways we need to go. We have the greater, the Lord God, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is all before you and I. Now, verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Not just knowing them. You see, just knowing them is not going to get you anything. It is in doing. 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. He's letting them all know that he knows what's going on and that there's one there that is against him. In 19. Now I tell you before it came, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. You see, they have still not been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. And that is why they are lacking of so much understanding of what he is saying at this time in their lives. Now, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You see, all our podiums today in our churches should be filled with men that are filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Not those that have been taught by man, but those that have been taught by God. And the Holy Spirit, and is being led each and every service by him, so that the words that comes out of his mouth are not his, but are God's, as they are given to him by the Holy Spirit. Now, 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He's brought it out to him now. Then disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. This is John, of course. 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. 25. He then, laying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Do what you're going to do, and do it quickly. 28. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. You see how dull of understanding they really had of the things Jesus was really doing and saying? 29. For some of them thought because Jesus had the bag, Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. 30. He then, having received the salt, went immediately out, and it was night. It was night when Judas left out to go to do what he was to do. 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. Now, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, Simon Peter, 36, said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now. Thou shalt follow me after. 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. There he goes again, trying to brag a little bit. Now, he told him he'd lay down his life for him. 38, Jesus answered him, thou lay down thy life for my sake. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Three times. He's letting him know. No, you wouldn't lay down your life for me. Not yet. Now, yes, there was a time when Peter did. He done what he said he'd do. He laid down his life for me. But, you see, they didn't have the right thing. They were still on their own here. And he's letting him know, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 13. 14's got 31 verses. So, we're not going to get into that, because it would take us too much over to get all the way through. You know, in that 14th chapter, though, I do want to share this with you. I've told you many times that when we are a born-again child of God, we are to be able to do what Jesus was doing. Think about that. And in the 14th chapter, in the 12th verse, he tells us, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And he lets us know why we can do it, because that's followed there in 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I do, will I do, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, you see, we're not going to go any further there, because we're going to be into that this evening at 6 p.m., God willing. As I've told you before, there's a lot that we need understanding in, and the reasons why it is in the Word of Almighty God. That's like you hear in a lot of your churches, how there people will, you'll be talking to people and tell them what the Word is saying, and they'll tell you, oh, that's just your interpretation. That's just your interpretation. No, because you see, we're not to interpret the Word of God. And actually, you can go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning here with verse 20. So let's just go from 19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not of any private interpretation. You see, it is the Word of God. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Think about it. Now, as we close his word, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. So let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the times that we can come together to study with each other, to be of help, and stand in one accord and one mind, to be able to work together to serve you, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, Israel, we pray for them. Father, they've lost a lot of people. So far. And they're losing more every day. And more destruction. We pray, Father, peace to come to that land. But that all of Israel will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And that one day Israel will be known as a land of Jesus. Father, this land in which we live, this land of the United States, it's turned its back, Father, and walked so far away without any excuse whatsoever. Just those that are sitting in places of leadership in our government that are evil, and that has brought all of this evil upon this land. Father, I pray that all of your children are standing together with one mind and one accord, asking for them to be replaced, to be taken out of office and replaced with those that are yours, that love you and love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people, and love this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, for those that study with me, those that belong with this ministry, Father, that has made themselves a part of this ministry, I pray for each of them. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy's son, Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for James Taylor, for myself, I ask that you keep them in health, keep them safe, so that we can all come together again this season. Father, I pray for Sharon and David, who stands in need of you, Father, and for Courtney and Shane, this young couple, standing in need of you. Holy Spirit, work with them. Help them to make that change and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they go to him and repent, Father, and receive forgiveness, and their lives be changed, that they become, Father, one of yours. Now, Father, keep us through this day. Watch over us, keeping us all safe. Bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. Now, Father, this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great, great day out there. Stay safe, especially you that are up on these highways. Be very careful out there and keep the Lord Jesus riding with you. Have a good day now. Bye-bye.